Well, good morning. Let me add my welcome. Isn't it great to be able to sing the convictions of our heart to such wonderful music all together? And really thank Cassie and the team for leading us. It's awesome. I love it. It's great. This morning we're continuing in a bit of a new year type of theme of a series. So if you were around last week, you would know that John kind of kicked it off for us at the beginning of the new year, thinking about what the year might hold and all the things that God is going to do in and through us. We ought to be prepared for that. And one of the ways that we're going to prepare for that is to think again about our purpose and function as a collective. Who are we as Lismore Baptist Church? What are we on about? What are the things that God is calling us into? And the way that we're going to be doing that throughout this series is looking at a bit of a mission statement that we've had, and that is to know Christ and to make Him known. And so John kicked that off last week, and for last week and this morning we're going to be looking at the first part of that, to know Christ. What does that mean, and how does that kind of come to life in amongst this particular collective? And then the following 2 weeks, next week and the week after, we're going to be looking at the second half of that, to make Him known in a similar kind of way. What does that look like? What does that, how does that come to life amongst us? And this morning, as we kind of continue looking at this part of it, to know Christ, I really want to just answer three fairly basic questions. What, why, and how? What is it to know Christ? What are we actually talking about? Why? Why do we do that? Why is it important? And how? What is that? What might that look like for us? And really building off the things that John shared with us last week around knowing Christ is our journey of discipleship. And discipleship being the parallel kind of the image of an apprentice. Learning a trade, being close in relationship with a master and following their footsteps. So knowing Christ as discipleship. But it's important to note that this is not something that we need to add to a to-do list. So we're not saying that we've got to know Christ, we have to have have this journey of discipleship, but it's something else that you have to add to your to-do list. It's not something else to do. It is simply inviting Jesus into everything that we already are doing. You see, it's not about doing more. It's actually about experiencing Christ in all that we already do. It is orienting our lives around the person and work of Jesus. Arranging our lives. And I don't mean arranging as in a nice, neat, orderly fashion, because life doesn't always work like that. But arranging our life around Jesus and in Him. So I don't want any of us to think, as we look to the year ahead and we think about the things that we are going to be preparing for, I don't want anyone to think that, well, you know what, Drew, I've got a pretty demanding job. I've got family and I've got friends. I've got a house to upkeep. I've got, you know, and things that fill my time. I come to church sometimes and that takes up a bit of my time as well. I can't add anything else in. I don't want us to think like that. I want us to think more like, I have a demanding job. How can I invite Jesus into that job that I actually do it to the best of my ability, that He enables me to do my best in the work that I have? Or I have family and relationships and friendships, and sometimes they get tricky and complicated, and I need to invite Jesus into those to figure out the best way forward, to be guided by His wisdom and to have the right words to say or the courage to not say anything. Or how are the things that I do when I socialize and I play and my hobbies, and how can I invite Jesus into those? It's a really key difference for us to think that way, rather than, oh, this is now something else I have to find time for. It's about inviting Jesus into what we are already doing. That's the journey of discipleship. And it's important to clarify as well that when we're talking about knowing Christ, we're talking about knowing a person. We're not talking about knowing about him. And that's also important because that can be significant in how we approach our discipleship. See, it's not just about knowing a piece of information that we learn once and then we recall when we need it, like some sort of login details that you need to try and remember when you get a new device or sign up for a new program and you've got to try and remember again those login details. This is not about trying to retain a bit of information that we recall from time to time. This is about knowing Christ. It's not as if, you know, we get into a situation and we go, oh, what was that bit of information about Jesus? What was that? I've got to try and recall that to figure out what I need to be doing. No, this is about knowing the person of Jesus, orienting our lives around him, inviting him into everything that we are already doing. Knowing Christ is a relationship. It's ongoing and it's dynamic. So that means no matter if you've been following Jesus for 5 years or for 50 years, there's knowing to be done. And as John said last week, knowing Jesus is something that we do together and we do it for the long term. And this idea of doing discipleship together and doing it for the long term isn't necessarily something that we've just kind of thought up, that kind of sounded nice. We actually get the image of this in lots of different places throughout Scripture. And one of those is in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 4 to highlight this image of discipleship together for the long term. Ephesians 4 from verse 11 says this, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. So each part does its work." Discipleship, knowing Christ, is something that we do together and we do it over time. But this idea isn't even just confined to the New Testament. We see this in the Old Testament as well. You know, the Old Testament law, the books of Exodus and Leviticus, weren't written as some sort of list of do's and don'ts. They're actually given to the people of God to define a relationship. To say, this is what relationship looks like. The relationship between God and his people. And you know, the most important confession, the most important part of that law is something called the Shema, which just comes from the Hebrew word for listening or to hear. And it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to read it for you, as it also paints this picture of discipleship over a period of time all together. And this Shema, confession in the law is actually so important. It's actually confessed and spoken three times a day by every Orthodox Jew. It's so central to the Old Testament law that was given. Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them to symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You know, in Mark chapter 12, we read a story about a teacher of the law asking Jesus a fairly similar question to what we're exploring this morning. When you boil it all down, what is the most important aspect of discipleship? That's what we're narrowing in on this morning. And this teacher of the law in Mark chapter 12 was asking a very similar question. What's the most important part of our relationship with God? What's the most important part of the law, of the definition of relationship that we've been given? Have a listen to this interaction in Mark chapter 12. From verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Jesus is pulling that straight from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And interestingly, just after that, what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, talking about this is something that not just to retain as a bit of information, this is something that we need to be impressing on our children, living as an example. We need to be talking about it around dinner tables and meal times. We need to be talking about it as we're walking alongside the road. It's that picture of a journey. And Jesus here takes that and he explicitly places it at the epicenter of what it means to be a true disciple. To love God, to love others, to live that out authentically with all that we are in God's world. This is the core outworking of our discipleship. It's the core outworking of our knowing Christ. This is the definition of discipleship given by and lived out by Jesus himself. Knowing Christ is a dynamic relationship. It's inviting him into all that we already do, and it's an expression of all we are in every aspect of who we are. And it's also how we know God. Knowing Jesus is the only way that we know God. You know, about a week or so ago, I had a wonderful conversation with Don Kemsley. I was over at his place with my family and his, and I was really inspired by his wisdom from such a long journey of knowing Christ. And one of the things that Don said, one of the stories he told me out of this wisdom of a life lived knowing Jesus, was something of a response to someone asking Don, "Why do you believe in God? How can you believe that there is a God?" And you know, Don responded something like this. It's not going to be quite the same with me recounting it, but something along the lines of, "I only know God because I know Jesus." It's only through Jesus that we can have a knowledge and a belief in God. You see, Jesus is the key to not only because Christian discipleship is about becoming more like Jesus, but he's also the key because it's only in and through Jesus that we can get the proper, true Christian understanding of God. Not only is he the mediator between God and humanity, 1 Timothy 2 says there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, Christ Jesus himself. Not only is he the mediator, but he's also the prism through which we can and must understand God. We read in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is the visible expression of the invisible God. In the opening part of the letter to the Hebrews, the author says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he has made the universe." The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Knowing Christ is knowing God. We see that in the Gospel of John as well. In John chapter 1 verse 18, in the kind of midst of that introduction to his telling of the story of Jesus, he says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father. It's him who has made him known." Jesus has made the Father known. And a little bit later on in John's Gospel, in John chapter 14, the disciples are kind of having a discussion with Jesus and asking him for a bit of a sign. You know, they're lacking confidence and assurance. And they're like, "Show us the Father, let us see him. If you're the way to the Father, show us him and we will believe." And Jesus answered, "Why do you ask that question? Don't you know me? Even after all this time I've been with you, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How then can you ask, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus is saying, he is the one to make God known. So, you know, we can have a discussion about belief in the existence of a God out there. And, you know, there's plenty of things to discuss and to talk about. But ultimately, for me, it comes down to the certainty of knowing Jesus. The certainty of knowing Christ. So discipleship, so knowing Christ, is a dynamic relationship. It's inviting him into everything that we already do, and it's how we know God. If that's what we're talking about, if that's kind of answering in part the what question, then the next question we're going to look at is the why. Why? Why is this continual knowing and re-knowing and knowing again of Christ so important? Why would it be something so central to what we're seeking to define ourselves as a collective? Well, you know, one of the key reasons knowing Christ is so important in our discipleship, because it's foundational for our faith and for us as a church. Now, some of you have done this, have built a house. I haven't yet to build a house, but I kind of, you know, there's some common understanding we have about buildings, right? And one of those is that it doesn't matter how good your frames, your walls, your roof is, it's all dependent on that slab. You take time to get that slab right. You don't cut corners there. You get that right. Because you can have the most well-engineered walls and roof, but if you've got a dodgy slab, well, it's not going to do much. You're not going to last very long. And the same is true when we think about knowing Christ. It's our foundation. You can have all the other bells and whistles in church life and in discipleship, but this is the foundation we have to get right. You know, as the church, our understanding and experience of the person and work of Jesus, that ultimately shapes our understanding of our purpose and function in the world. And it's that purpose and function in the world that ultimately shapes our expression as the family of God, whenever we gather and wherever we're sent. To put that concept in a kind of a fancy lot of large words, our Christology shapes our missology, which shapes our ecclesiology. There's a lot of ologies there, you know, the study of things. And let me explain a little bit further. So our Christology, our understanding and our exploration of the person, teaching and impact of Jesus, that's the foundation. That's what we've got to sort out. That's what we have to keep at and continue to know and re-know. Our missology, which is the understanding of our purpose and function in the world as God's people, as his sent ones, which is shaped by our understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he is continuing to do. And that purpose and function in the world, that missiology, then shapes our ecclesiology, the forms and functions of the church. You know, the Greek term for the church gathering, ecclesia, it's where that kind of comes from. And that is ultimately shaped by our purpose and function in the world. So how we gather, how we organize ourselves is shaped by our purpose and function in the world. All we do as individuals and as a collective begins and is founded in the identity, call and mission of Jesus. The revolutionary Messiah whose coming was the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Jesus' preaching is summarized as the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe. The kingdom of God has come near. The God of the creator of the cosmos, the sustainer of all things, the source of life has come near in the person of Jesus. And that is the foundation of our faith, and that is the foundation of us as a church. As we know Christ, it will inform and shape our distinctive purpose and function in this community, which will ultimately shape the form and function of our expression as a church. And that's the next 2 weeks, making him known. So I'm going to park that, and John will pick it up next Sunday. This is the importance, though. This is the importance of why we need to be knowing Christ, why we need to continually be knowing Jesus. It's the foundation of life for all of us and for each of us. Discipleship, knowing Christ, is a dynamic relationship, inviting him into all that we are already doing. It's how we know God, and it's the foundation for our mission in the world, which is the foundation for our expression as a collective. That is the importance of it. So how? How do we know Christ? What does that actually look like? How does that play itself out in our lives? Well, as John mentioned last week, we need to be doing this together and regularly. We need to be regularly gathering together in smaller groups than this during the week, reflecting on Scripture, praying and journeying with one another. Yes and amen to all of that. And you know, when it comes to reading the Bible, when it comes to reflecting on Scripture, whether together or on your own, we need to escape this guilty cycle that I think we all get trapped in from time to time. Let me explain what I mean. You might have a Bible, you might have it on your phone, but you might have a Bible that sits on your shelf at home, and you think, yep, I need to read that. I know it's important. I know it's got good stuff in it, and I know that I need to read that to grow and develop in my discipleship. So you get it off the shelf, you open it up. 2 Chronicles. Okay, let's see what this is all about. Yep. I don't understand it. So you put it back on the shelf. And you feel guilty for not understanding it, but you just don't understand it, so you put it back on the shelf. And then a little time passes, and you feel guilty again, and you're like, oh, I really need to read that. I know it's important for my life. I know it's the way in which I can learn more about who God is and all that he's done in Jesus, and it's important for my discipleship, so I'm going to do it. Here we go. All right. No, I don't understand it. No, that's going back on the shelf. I just don't understand. And on this cycle goes. We just don't get it. The way to break that cycle, one of the ways to break that cycle, is to get some help. To ask someone or to read something. One of the great advantages that we have living in the time that we do, information is everywhere. It's actually overwhelming. But ask someone. Say, hey, Julie, I don't get Psalm 61. What's the psalmist kind of getting at there? Have you read it? Like, can we read it together and can we talk about that? Or you might ask, Alan, what's a good commentary to read when I'm working my way through Genesis? What do you recommend? Oh, well, here's a couple of suggestions. You know, have a crack at that. The only way we're going to break that guilt cycle is if we actually do something about it. Ask someone, read something. And you know, praying is a wonderful opportunity to invite Jesus into what we're already doing. Knowing Christ, praying is one of the wonderful, wonderful opportunities that we have. And in terms of this idea of knowing Christ and inviting Him into all that we are already doing, I was reminded again this week of something that Matt Wyatt sent me a little while ago. And you might have heard about it. It's the Examine Journey by Saint Ignatius. It's a very, very old but very, very useful way of including Jesus in our everyday world. And Matt sent it to me a little while ago in our Tuesday night group that we were talking about this kind of stuff, and it reminded me of it, and it reminded me of it this week. So what I've done is it's one A4 sheet of paper. The front of it explains it, and the back of it kind of leads you through some questions. You can do it daily or weekly, whatever's going to suit best. And it's all about intentionally thinking about what we're doing and inviting and hearing from Jesus in what we're already doing. It's a really helpful tool, I think, to use. A very, very old one, but a very, very useful one. And I've actually printed off a whole bunch of copies. They're on the table as you walk out in the foyer. So feel free to grab one of those as you go. And I'll also post it on our church's Facebook page this week. So if you didn't get a chance to grab that, that's one of the other ways. Or if none of those work for you, just come and talk to me or give me a call during the week and I'll post it, I'll send it by carrier pigeon, I'll email it, whatever I need to do to get it to you. It's just one helpful tool that I think would help us as we think about this idea of inviting Jesus into what we're already doing. But taking a step back, there's a couple of really practical things for us to be doing. Taking a step back, thinking about how do we know Christ? How do we become and continue to be disciples of Jesus? You know, Jesus actually points us in the right direction. When we think about that passage I read from Mark chapter 12 a little earlier, Jesus points us in the right direction when he says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." What we have here is both a description of what true worship means, but it's also a description of a disciple's basic orientation to the world. We see here Jesus points us in the direction of what it means to love God and worship Him in every aspect of our lives, with all of our being. And this is why we need to invite Jesus into everything that we are doing, every part of our lives, because nothing in life, in culture, in the human experience, lies outside this all-encompassing notion of loving God. All of our life, our work, our home, our intellect, our sexuality, our politics, our play, our family, our economics, all of it can and must become aspects of our worship to the one true God. And if we're seeking to worship God with all of it, then we need to be inviting Christ into that all to see that happen. So what does it look like to love God with everything that I have? What does it look like to love God when I'm at work? What does it look like to love God when I'm thinking about the world and my place in it? What does it mean to love God when I'm interacting with family or friends or in relationships? Well, the answer is to invite Jesus into that. The answer is to figure out how does me following Jesus look like in that circumstance or in that situation. And Jesus explicitly here in Mark chapter 12 includes the love of people in his kind of summation of discipleship. Because we can be tempted to think my discipleship, my religion, my faith, it's all about my devotion between me and God.
But Jesus won't allow that. Discipleship is, in the way of knowing Christ, must include the love of people. We can never be truly knowing Christ. We can never come to that true discipleship in isolation from the love of people. Loving the one true God with all that we are and loving others as ourselves. You know, it's as simple as it is profound. Orienting our lives around Jesus, inviting Jesus into what we are already doing, is actually a choice that we need to make. See, it's not just about adding more into your life. It's about inviting Jesus into your whole life, loving him with all of it. Nor it's also not just about finding the right program or the right pastor or reading plan or the right church or the right mentor or the right ministry to be involved in, and somehow that will just automatically help you know Christ. I mean, don't get me wrong, these are important choices to be making. They're all really important choices. And thinking about them will absolutely help. But first, there needs to be a choice to know, to truly know Christ. To grow, a choice to grow from this day forward in that knowing, until he returns or until he calls you home. You know, church program or scripture reading plan can do that for you. You need to choose, and you need to keep on choosing. You know, if you need to make that choice this morning, whether for the first time or the 31st time, I want to give you that opportunity to make that choice again. Maybe there's an aspect of your life that you're holding on to, or you're holding Jesus out of. You're not inviting him in there. Whether it be your work, family, friendships, finances, your intellect. I want to provide that opportunity for you this morning as well to make that choice. Because at the beginning of 2019, as we prepare to partner with God in his restorative rescue mission, we first must choose to know Christ. Because that is our foundation. And in committing to know Christ, what we are committing to is loving God with all that we are and sacrificially love other people. It's a journey, it's a process, it's an adventure. The one that we do together. But it's a choice that we each need to make. And so as we walk into 2019 together, it's the 13th of January already, just like that. I want to provide us with some space to respond this morning, an opportunity to respond individually. And as we do that, we're responding together. So I just want to allow some space, some quiet time for us to respond. If it's helpful for you to focus, then I invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And if you want to choose to know Jesus, we've been talking about knowing Jesus this morning. If you want to choose to know him in the way that we have been exploring this morning, whether that be for the first time or the 31st time, I just want to take a moment now in the quiet as we close our eyes and focus on what God is saying to us. I want to provide that opportunity right now. You know, when we pray, we're focusing our whole selves on God. We're talking to him. We're having a conversation with our Creator. And so we don't need to use fancy, magical words. God knows us. He loves us. He accepts us for who we are, and He loves us too much to leave us as we are. And so if you're wanting to make that choice this morning, to know Christ, to invite Jesus into all that you are already doing, let's pray into that. You might want to just pray something like this. Jesus, I need you. Forgive me, Jesus. I choose today to follow you. Help me to live out that choice this week. Lord Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you that your never giving up, always and forever love pursues us, that you meet us where we're at, that you come to us in our need, and all we need to do is respond. So I thank you for the responses here this morning, those choices to seek to know you. If you're here this morning and you know there's an aspect of your life you are yet to invite Jesus into, you're just holding it at a distance because it's safe and comfortable, or you're scared to let go, we need to invite Jesus into all of our life as we continue to know Him. Maybe there's something right now that you hadn't previously thought of that is coming to mind, that is something that you need to invite Jesus into. I want to provide that opportunity this morning. And if that's you, I would just ask that as you sit there, you just in your lap or to your side, you just open up your hands, symbolizing the openness of your heart to Jesus. You might want to pray something like this. As best as I can, I invite you in, Jesus. Show me. Lead me. Guide me in what it means to focus this part of my life on you. Lord Jesus, I pray for all of us here this morning, wherever we're at, however we come before you today, that in all of our life, in every aspect of it, we would continually invite you in. We would continually know what it is to know you in all of life. And in every aspect of our life, that we might invite you to bring peace and hope and meaning and purpose. And that in that, Lord God, not only would we know you more, Lord Jesus, but that would equip and enable and inspire us to make you known. Might you show us this week what that looks like for us. And as we seek you as a collective, might our knowing of you be the foundation for our purpose and function in Lismore and our expression as the family of Lismore Baptist Church. And as best as we know how, we commit ourselves to that end, knowing that it is a journey, that it is a process, that it is only completed upon your return, Lord Jesus. And we pray it in your name. Amen.